today I want to take a look at one of our most favorite topics, one of the topics that, if we are honest with ourselves, is among our favorite things to do in this life. Sin. Yeah, you knew it was coming. You knew it when you heard the reading from 1 John. You knew it when you heard the reading from Acts. Sin. A three-letter word. S-I-N. A three-letter word which means total and completely missing the mark of God's will for us. Sin. Now, sin has many manifestations. Sin has many guises. Sin has many forms. Sin looks like many different things. When I was growing up as a teenager, my personal vision and manifestation for what sin was a beautiful girl in a bikini on the beach. That was sin for me. Still sin for me. Well, we're being honest here today, aren't we? I'm serious. We each have our own mental and visual images of what sin is, and they do indeed change over time. When I was a teenager, it was that beautiful woman, female, in a bikini on the beach. For some people, their image and manifestation of sin is a bottle of booze. For others, it might be the gambling table at the casinos. For others, and for me especially, sin has a more tangible and tasty manifestation these days, like one of these. What is this? It's a yummy glazed and chocolate covered donut. Ooh, and here another, a glazed, thick, dripping with sugar donut. Look at sin, my friends, manifested in your presence. See the sin set forth before your eyes. Behold the glistening evil of sin. As most of you know, or may know by now, I have begun a new walk in my life. Oh my goodness, how do I get these off my fingers? No, I can't do that. I can't stick my glistening fingers in my lips. I'm going to leave these open here on the altar so that you can see the sin that my associate pastor brought to church today and put before me, knowing perfectly well that in my life, for the last month and a half, I have been trying to take care of this temple that the Lord has given me. And I must say that thanks to God's grace, thanks to Peggy, who reminds me and asks me on a regular basis, I am having some success. Encourages. Yes, Peggy, she asks me to change it to encourages. Thank you, Zelma, for the paper to wipe my fingers with. I'm getting the sin off of my fingers from this donut there. Ugh. When I came back from the cruise that I went on at the end of February and the beginning of March, I weighed 369 pounds. A manifestation of what sin will do when you do not take care of yourself. On that cruise, I took a look at myself and I took a look at what I'd been doing to myself in my life. And I decided this had to stop. I wasn't taking care of the temple God gave me. I wasn't taking care of myself, which meant it was difficult for me to take care of you. A shepherd who does not take care of himself cannot take care of his flock. Therefore, I was sinning. Not just in eating too much fat. Donuts have never really been a super huge temptation to me. I like donuts, especially Krispy Kremes, but to me, the real temptation is a great big plate of enchiladas or a bowl of fettuccine Alfredo. Do you know that there is over 100 grams of fat in your average plate of fettuccine Alfredo? In the Alfredo alone, not counting any of the meat with it. My friends, that was my downfall. Mexican food, Italian food, fried foods. You know what I asked my mother to make me for my birthday? Country fried steak with mashed potatoes and gravy. My favorite comfort food, my friends. You know what? If I had only eaten that every once in a while, it'd been okay. But I was eating too many hamburgers, too much red meat, too much fried chicken, too much pizza, too much Mexican food, too much Italian. Am I making you hungry yet? I was eating way too much every day. And I was putting on the pounds. So when I came off the cruise, I dedicated myself to changing this. I went to 24-hour fitness. I got a membership. I got myself a trainer and a dietitian. We began examining my diet. We began examining my habits. I began walking on the treadmill. That first day was murder, friends. But with every step, God gave me more strength. To the point that yesterday, I walked 4.5 miles at 3.7 miles per hour. Thank you. I give glory to God for this because it was God speaking to me who told me, you've got to take care of yourself if you're going to be the shepherd God has called you to be. You've got to stop sinning against yourself and against your flock by how you were neglecting yourself. And since I came off the cruise, I have lost 52 pounds. Thank you. I've got a long way to go, friends. I have a long way to go. But with God's grace, and this is true for all of us, overcoming sin is a matter of repenting. Remember, I've used this definition of repenting. To pent is an old English word meaning to go. I am penting towards the baptismal font. To repent is to turn around and go the other direction. I am now penting towards the pulpit. It is to reverse your motion. That is to repent. I reversed the motion of my life. I was sinning. I reversed it. I went from not taking care of myself, not paying attention to what I was eating, not exercising. I lived a very sedentary life. No wonder I had back trouble. I went from being a couch pizza to walking. Indeed, to swimming and riding a bike as well. I changed my habits. I changed myself. I changed my diet. Now, my friends, that took will. And all acts of repentance take will. It takes a desire to want to change. And God places within us, when we recognize our sin, God places within us, when we recognize it, that little spark of a desire, a want, a wish to do something about it. If that spark, if that desire isn't there, you're not going to do it. Before God put in me the spark to take better care of myself, I didn't really care. Oh, well, I put on some more weight, I'll just go buy another bigger set of pants. That was always my biggest problem, Jim. When I put on weight, I put on a bigger pair of pants. I have enough slack sitting in closets right now at the parsonage to take me down to size 44 from size 50. And that's a lot of pair of pants in between. That's how I handled the problem. Instead of repenting, instead of changing, I just went out and bought more pants. That's how most of us do. When we sin and when we find ourselves sinning, and if we do not have that desire to change, we just go out and buy more pants. Enable more sinning. And buy the kind of pants with the elastic on the side to enable even more sinning. And it's not just about food, friends. It's about everything in our lives, all kinds of sin. We enable it. But if we listen to God's call to us in prevenient grace, calling us, calling to us to turn from our sin, if we listen, if we hear, if God places within us through His prevenient grace that spark of a desire to respond, my friends, we are called to respond. Do not neglect one day turning from your sin and following God's path for you. We have today in 1 John a very powerful reading about sin. Let's take a look at it. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to stop right there. One of the most terrifying experiences in the process of getting ready to lose the weight, when I went in to the gym for the first time and met the trainer and we went through the process of weighing me in water. You ever watch the TV show What Not to Wear? And they take a person and they take that person's clothing and they put that clothing on them, and then they have them get into a 360-degree mirror room, which gives them a, with good lighting, which gives them a good view of what they look like in their clothing from all sides. We did something similar to that with me with no clothing. Oh, man, what a mental image. Let's wipe that out as fast as we can. I couldn't do it, friends. I had to look. And what I saw terrified me. When we are in the light, when we stand in the light of Christ's presence, we cannot help but see that we are sinners. Just as surely as I couldn't help but see that I was a porker, and still am, friends, so also when we are in the light of Christ's love and presence, we cannot help but see that we are sinners. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for porker sinners like us. Amen. Amen. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, even the sin of overeating. Can I get an amen? Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Oh, no, I'm not fat. I'm just big boned. Yes, in water they weighed me. I should weigh, without any fat on my body, I should weigh 205 pounds. Now, I am a big dreamer, but I am also a realist. And I know that plus or minus 1% body fat is going to be very difficult for me to reach. Hence, 205 pounds, which is me, skin and bones and muscle and organs, is probably beyond my reach. But I can come a whole lot closer to that than I am now. And we can fool ourselves into saying, oh, I'm not fat, I'm just big boned, or I'm not fat, I'm just tall, or whatever. I'm not fat, my clothing is just getting tighter. Yeah, right. I'm not a sinner. What I do isn't a sin. Yeah, right. Is what you do glorifying God? If it's not, it's a sin. Well, it's not bad. Is it in accordance with God's will for you? If it's not, it's a sin. Oh, it's not a really big one. I don't murder people. I don't lie and steal and cheat. I don't commit adultery. I don't do any of those other things. Well, you gossip. Oops. You covet, you desire other people's stuff. Oops. Yes. If it's not in accordance with God's will for you, it's a sin. And you can lie to yourself all you want. You're simply lying to yourself. John said it best. John said it clearly in verse 8 of chapter 1 of his first letter. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Isaiah said it clearly too. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. We be errant sheep, my friends. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a hard one, friends. We want to deny that we are sinners. We want to deny that we sin. We want to deny that what we do is not in accordance with God's will. And so long as we stand there and say, metaphorically speaking, I'm not fat, I'm big boned, as long as we stand there and say, I'm not really a sinner, Jesus Christ will not forgive us. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But until we confess them to Him and accept that we are sinners, and accept that what we do separates from us from Him, and accept that we have failed in faith, until we accept that we need Jesus, His blood does not get to us. I want to say that again. We try to deceive ourselves by saying we are not sinners. We try to claim, oh, we're not sinners. It may look like sin to you, but it's not really sin to me. Oh, really? Well, if you can't confess your sin and repent of it, then Jesus having died for it on the cross is good and fine, but until you accept that, you are a sinner, and confess it and turn it over to Him, the blood that paid for it, and the grace that flows from it does not get to you. That's pretty hard, friends. But that's what John is saying right here in his first letter. Hear the words again. If we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We begin with justification. We are still very much sinners. Oh man, I would love to eat these donuts. They sure look tasty to me. Oh, they smell good too. But I repent of wanting them. And I turn them over to Jesus. And He does a wonderful thing. Not only does He forgive us for even wanting to sin, not only does He forgive us for sinning itself, for the many hundreds of times that I've eaten donuts just like those. Not only does He forgive us of our sins, but He also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just forgive. Over time, He wipes that desire away. So that eventually, we look at these donuts as a symbol of sin and we say, ugh, no thank you. No thank you, Satan. Take your donuts and go. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Am I making my point?
Yeah.
Good. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Jesus a liar, and His word is not in us. Oh, I love it how He comes right back to our problem. He says it clearly. You can't deceive yourselves. You're going to try. And when you do, you can't be forgiven. If you confess your sin, if you accept it as your own, then the effects of the cross get to you. You are forgiven and you are cleansed of unrighteousness. That's sanctification, friends. Slowly over time, in God's grace and time, those donuts go from being enticing to look like they're about as yummy as a pile of wax, which is essentially what they are. God, hurry up and make that true for me, please. And then he goes right back to it and says, you know, really, if you say you haven't sinned, you're making Jesus into a liar. That's really on the point, friends. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, thank God we have a defense attorney. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He didn't just die for you and me. He died for the sins of the whole world. And he is the atoning sacrifice. I love the different translations. The reading that was read today was from the King James, I think it was propitiation. What in the world does that word mean? I like to look up words in dictionary. Propitiation, according to Webster's, means it's a verb to propitiate. It means to win or regain the favor of God or spirit or person by doing something that pleases them. Thesaurus is a wonderful thing to go to find out what this word means. Propitiate, to appease, to placate, to mollify, to pacify, to make peace with. Oh, I like that one. To conciliate, to make amends to soothe, to calm. Wow. Propitiation. Another word is expiation that is often used. To expiate, a verb. And I hate it when they define the word with the word. Their sins must be expiated by sacrifice. Oh, please. The word literally means to atone, to pay for, to make restitution for. Jesus Christ is our atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He is our expiation. He is the one who makes atonement for, who pays for our sin. He is not just our defense attorney, but he takes the penalty too. That deserves an amen. You know what? That was really a weak amen. I said that Jesus Christ is not just our defense attorney. He also takes the punishment for us and died on the cross for our sins. That deserves an amen.
Amen.
Amen indeed. I received an email on March the 16th. I've asked this fellow if I may read this email. And he knows that my reading it here will also mean it'll be read all over the internet. Dear Dr. Neal, you may remember me from earlier emails that we have exchanged over the past year. I first came across your ministry and your website while I was searching for information and photographs about the cruise ship, the Stottendam, of the Holland America Line. I viewed your photos, read your review of your cruise aboard her, and was impressed both with your photographic eye and your writing skills. I also noted that your review and photos were part of a larger website that had many writings and many other things dealing with Christianity. As I wrote to you in my earlier emails, when I first came upon your website, I was very far from being a Christian. My life was truly one that was led outside what even most non-Christians would consider normal. I have been, for the past 7 years, a male prostitute and a fashion model. If you've seen many ads for men's clothing, you've probably seen my picture. The world in which I lived was far removed from the concepts of God, forgiveness, grace, faith, peace. Indeed, while I thought I was doing okay, deep down inside, I knew that I lived a life that lacked peace, and I deeply wanted peace. We exchanged several emails in which you were also very kind and gracious in answering my many questions. At first, I asked about mostly cruise ships, then about digital photography and computers. You were very patient and informative without being pushy. What I didn't tell you then was that I had also begun reading your many theological articles that can be found on your website. Your approach to God, to Jesus, and to the life of faith interested me. Unlike so many other Christians that I came across on the internet, however, you never seemed to be judgmental of me. Even after I confessed to you what I did for a living, you never condemned me to the fiery depths of hell. Rather, you always expressed the very best of what I then believed Christianity was about. It was that approach, both in your writing and in your emails, that caused me to begin listening to your sermons on the internet. Over the past year and a half, I have been listening to your Sunday morning messages. I haven't missed a single one. And I have gone back to your sermons from many years ago and have listened to many of them too. You have a way of expressing the Christian faith that is just plain engaging. And you never talked down to me, even though I knew so very little about God or Jesus when I began listening to you. I always felt your sermons were geared for me. And when you began putting your Bible studies on the internet, I learned a lot from them too. I felt as if I was sitting right there in the classroom with you and your fellow church members, your students, as we studied the Word of God. Since you began podcasting your sermons and Bible studies on iTunes, I have been downloading them to my iPod and have been taking them with me to the gym and jogging on the treadmill and working out with the weights while listening to you preach and teach. To make a long story short, I've been listening for a very long time. I've been listening to the message about Jesus which you preach and teach, and it has been having an impact on me. I've heard for the very first time in my life about a God and a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for me. I've heard that God loves me, even while I was still a sinner. God loved me and sent His Son to die for me. That impressed me beyond everything else. I had always heard that I was horrible and evil, that I was going to go to hell, and that God hated me. I had had preachers yell that to me from pulpits. I had family members shake their fists at me and tell me I was horrible. I had never heard before that God loves me and that He sent His Son to die for me, and that all I had to do was accept the grace He offered and live by faith. At least, I don't think I ever heard it before. Because I began listening to you, and since I began listening to your messages, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I told Him many months ago to take me and change me. If there is anything in my life that He wanted to change, I told Him to do it. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and as you have preached, that means He becomes your boss, your master, your owner, your king. And I meant it. I wanted Him to be my Lord. Little did I realize that Jesus means it too, and wanted to be my Lord. As I said in a prior email, I have been an escort, a male prostitute, for 7 years. I have lived a life that did not give glory to God, but rather denied God. Faith in Jesus was the farthest thing from my interest, but God, through your writings, your sermons, and your Bible studies, has been working on me. God has shown me how my life was harmful and wrong and not what God wanted from me. And so, last week, I quit and renounced the male prostitution business and that lifestyle. I began informing my clients that I was no longer in that business, and I told them why. Most don't understand. Many have been angry, But a few are curious and want to know more. And who knows? Maybe Jesus will use me in a way to tell them about the love of God that I have learned from your messages. Maybe people can hear and see that God really does change lives, that forgiveness of sin is possible, that a new life in Christ is real, if only we will accept the grace He freely offers. I know I'm still not the person Jesus wants me to be, but I don't think He's done working on me either. My prayer is that I can continue to learn about Jesus, continue to grow in grace, and to do this, I'll keep listening to your messages. Thank you, and God bless you. Darius. My friends, this fella lived a life of sin that's kind of hard to deny. He lived a life of sin that makes desiring junk like that, like donuts, seem silly. But sin is sin. And he, for a long time, pretended that it wasn't sin. And he was deceiving himself. We pretend that what we do is not sin. And in that, we deceive ourselves as well. We cooperate with Satan in deceiving ourselves. I thank God that from this platform, a message has been broadcasted to the world through the internet that has reached this fella. How many more are there? I know of a few, but this is an illustration of where the voice that God has given us can go. Darius, and he said this in other emails to me, would never, ever, ever have entered a church. He expected nothing there but hate and condemnation. He never expected to hear the grace of God. He never would have entered a church. But he clicked on a link on the internet and listened to an audio sermon, read a paper, listened to a Bible study. My friends, he even listens while he's working out. I don't listen to myself working out. I'm too boring to listen to while I'm working out. My friends, if God can change Darius, God can change us too. If God can forgive me of my overeating and my under-exercise, and change me, and my friends, it's not easy and it hurts, but change is supposed to be difficult. Repentance, contrition is not easy, but with God's grace, it's possible. If God can forgive me my sin and transform me by His grace, empowering my faith effort, God can forgive each and every one of us.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.